You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. And now here are your hosts, Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
Welcome into the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, Brett and Sam, in on your Monday afternoon, a very rainy Monday afternoon, although I went upstairs, looks like things are starting to somewhat clear out, still some raindrops falling, and looking at that storm system, looks like it should be just about out of here by about 5 o'clock, but as you were commuting in here, Sam, you said it was raining awfully hard. I went to lunch at around 11:30 today, and it was absolutely pouring, so glad things are clearing on up. Fortunately, though, as you at least said, commuting here from St. Paul, looks like the roads weren't too bad, though.
Yeah, no, not too bad. A few puddles I had to avoid here and there because of my bumper situation, but traffic wasn't so bad.
Yeah, exactly. And who knows if we get a worse rainstorm or even a worse winter storm coming up, because believe it or not, that's only like 3 or 4 months away before we're going to be talking about winter storms. We can just do what the president says. We can nuke those winter storms. I just can't believe that there's a headline that I actually saw, a real headline. Trump, I never said we should nuke hurricanes. That's actually something from Donald Trump. I thought we like ran out of all of those goofy headlines during the Bush administration with, I used to have a poster of all of the infamous Bush quotes, and I thought some of these were fake or that were on that poster, but it turns out I Googled them way back when. This was probably about 10 years ago, and it turns out they were all accurate, but I don't think Bush ever went as far as saying he would nuke hurricanes. Did you hear about that, Sam? How Donald Trump said, yeah, the way we could prevent hurricanes from, well, hitting the United States is that we should nuke them when they're near the African coast because that will somehow prevent them from forming.
Yes, and as a physics student, I can assure you that is not a good idea. Let's not do that, please.
Yeah, what I found kind of unbelievable about that story, too, is that people kind of laughed it off, and then he actually said it a second time, apparently. He said it twice. So it wasn't necessarily in a joking manner. And some of the journalists that are reporting on this are saying, no, he did indeed say this. This is on pretty good information. They're not making it up because, well, Trump is tweeting today that it's all fake news. But unbelievable. Nuking a hurricane. I'm not even sure what the logic would be trying to get that to work. Other than, well, I actually can't explain any of the logic behind trying to nuke a hurricane.
It's like that fight fire with fire thing, one really big destructive-y thing with another big destructive-y thing, the Trump logic, I guess.
Yeah, we'll trade the hurricanes for the nice radiation that'll be brought in from the path of those hurricanes. That's a fair trade-off, isn't it? 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Some local news we'll cover on the show today, including some interesting congressional rumors that are taking place over in CD5 and CD8, because Ilhan Omar could actually end up getting a primary challenger, because apparently there's these weird robocalls that have been going on throughout Minneapolis, questioning people about potential challengers to Ilhan Omar on both the Democratic and the Republican side. We'll get into that a little bit later on. Also in CD8, there's a pretty big name of a candidate that could be running against Pete Stauber, who is the current Republican representative who was elected in 2018. And this is a name you will probably recognize on AM 950, as this person has been a guest on several of our shows on many occasions. We'll talk about that. And I also want to talk about, coming up in the second half of the show, Joe Walsh has announced that he is going to challenge Donald Trump in the Republican primary for the nomination to be on the ballot, because even though you are the president of the United States, you technically still do have to get your party's nomination to actually be on the ballot. Of course, almost every time the president ends up winning. I think the only instance where they may have come close to failing was back during the first Roosevelt administration, back in the early 20th century. But we're going to talk about his candidacy and why I think we should actually encourage some of our Republican friends and family members to get on the Joe Walsh bandwagon. And it's not because Joe Walsh is necessarily a good guy, because if you look at his past history, he's a big-time Tea Partier dating back to 2010 when he served in Congress. So he's not some moderate that's trying to challenge Trump. He's still definitely from the right. He just doesn't like the rhetoric from the Trump administration. But I think we should be encouraging Republican family and friends to be voting for Joe Walsh and getting on the Joe Walsh train, so to speak, coming up as the primary season heats on up. Well, if it ever heats up on the Republican side, obviously it is in full swing on the Democratic side. And let's talk about the Democratic primary, because here in the state of Minnesota, we've had two of the biggest candidates stop by within recent weeks. Of course, a couple of weeks ago, we had Elizabeth Warren stop into Minnesota, as Matt was saying during the last hour, which kind of put it in perspective for me. Yeah, she was here for like 9 hours and was just drawing these massive crowds compared to Amy Klobuchar, whose campaign is really, really struggling. And as he was kind of talking about as well, she's kind of putting all of her eggs in the Iowa basket. I would be very surprised if she stays in the race, if she doesn't get like in the top three or four in Iowa. So we had Elizabeth Warren, going back to the original point. She was here drawing huge crowds a few weeks ago. Then, of course, last week we had Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders bringing his campaign stop to the state fair last week, drawing some big crowds as he was speaking to people about his candidacy for 2020. So I've been looking at some of the polling numbers, at least nationally, and I've seen kind of an interesting trend over the past few weeks. So Joe Biden, after initially having a drop in support after the first round of debates in late June, saw his support tick back up towards late July and into early August. But since then, it's actually started to drop back down. It was at a high, at least over the summer, at about averaging 32-33% as of just about a month ago. But now it's actually dropped to closer to 27-28%. This is the average on Real Clear Politics. While on the other hand, Bernie Sanders has kind of flown under the radar, at least as much as he can. Obviously, he's still a big name, but he's actually risen very steadily over the past few weeks, so much to the point where he's actually gotten back in to that number two overall spot, because over most of the summer, it was actually Elizabeth Warren and also Kamala Harris who was kind of occupying that number two slot in the polls. So Bernie Sanders might be kind of quietly rising in the polls. Elizabeth Warren's numbers have remained relatively flat since the first debate, as she's been hovering in the upper teens, while Kamala Harris has pretty much fallen off the map. I know she had been dropping in the polls, but she went from a high of about 15% after that late June debate, and now she's struggling to even get into the double digits. So what I'm kind of wondering here is, are we essentially getting into a repeat of the 2016 primary? Because if you roughly add up the support between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and compare that to the total amount of support of Joe Biden, those numbers are pretty close to being equal. So even though we might have over 20 candidates, it looks like we could be having perhaps another rehash of 2016, where again we have the very progressive side of the aisle versus the more centrist and pragmatic side. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's move on to some local news. So let's talk about what's been happening in CD5. Now, Sam, you of course live in Minneapolis, which is Ilhan Omar's district. And I'm wondering if you've been receiving any of these robocalls asking about potential challengers to Omar, because this has been something that some people in Minneapolis have been reporting on, or have been reporting about, is that they've been getting these robocalls asking, what's your opinion of these potential people who could challenge Ilhan Omar? Have you received any of these calls?
Probably. Unfortunately, I don't answer numbers. I'm not familiar, but I should have asked my parents about that. I wonder if they still got a landline and everything. I bet you they might be getting some of those.
And that's why I was going to guess you probably have not, is because a lot of these calls are probably going to landline. These aren't pollsters. These are just the way Blois Olson is reporting on this. He's the one that's put this article out here, is that they're kind of poll testing messages, not necessarily full polls saying, would you vote for Ilhan Omar in 2020 or X other candidate? But the two names they've been mentioning as potential challengers to Omar that these robocalls have been bringing up, one on the Republican side is, of course, I guess sort of friend of the show, Mike Lindell. Of course, we have our cardboard cutout of Mike Lindell here at AM 950.
He scares me. Eric will set him up sometimes right at the stairs right there. And when I come down on Saturday in the morning at like 7:30 in the morning and flip that light switch on, and there's Mike Lindell's face right in my face. I jump.
We had one right in the studio as well, because if you haven't seen the AM950 studios, we basically are in two separate rooms between Sam and I. We do have a little glass window that we can see each other through, but there's a door between us. And at one point, yeah, Eric actually positioned Mike Lindell right on one side of the door. So when you immediately opened it and headed into the talk show host studio, you saw good old Mike Lindell staring right at you. Either way, though, by the way, I haven't seen Eric set him up in quite a while. I don't even know where our Mike Lindell cutout is.
Maybe. I think Eric's got him hiding. He's just biding his time, waiting for us to forget about it, and then he's gonna pop it back out on us.
He's going to pop right back out, exactly. So back to Mike Lindell, though. He is possibly being rumored as a challenger in CD5. In fact, I think City Pages was reporting on that a few weeks ago. But apparently, these robocalls have been mentioning his name, asking people's opinion about him. Now, of course, in CD5, he has no chance of winning. I would be shocked if he could even get 30% of the vote in a general election, because he would be running on the Republican side. But this second name is more interesting. And I want to preface this. This is on the DFL side. And again, I want to preface it with this statement. The person I'm going to mention is basically said they have no connection to these robocalls whatsoever. They have nothing to do with it. So this person hasn't given any indication that they want to run, but apparently who's conducting these calls has been mentioning her name, and that is Margaret Anderson Kelleher, of all people. She is currently the MnDOT commissioner in the Tim Walz administration, and she was also in a leadership position back when she was serving in the State House in Minnesota. So that's kind of an interesting name right there, because she would actually be, I think, a much more formidable challenge to Ilhan Omar. Now, again, want to go back and preface and say they asked Margaret Anderson Kelleher about this, and she confirmed she has nothing to do and doesn't know anything about these robocalls, so she's not connected to these at all. But apparently someone's kind of getting an inkling that maybe she does. Again, complete rumor. But if you've gotten any of these phone calls, I'd love to hear from you. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, because I want to hear how these questions are being phrased when they're talking about potential challengers to Omar, and if they've mentioned any other names outside of Mike Lindell and Margaret Anderson Kelleher. So that's what's happening over in CD5. Oh, go ahead, Sam.
I was just going to say, I'd be really curious, too, because it seems a little weird, you know? I wonder what the motive behind trying to find a challenger.
Yeah, and they don't know who's exactly conducting these robocalls either, whether it's a Democratic-leaning organization, a Republican organization, or some sort of news organization. Well, no one's entirely sure, but apparently they have been going on in the Minneapolis area, dialing up some of those phone lines in Minneapolis. Let's move on to what's happening in CD8. This is from the Brainerd Dispatch. This article, it says, a lifelong diabetes advocate fighting to lower insulin costs is considering a run for the DFL nomination in the 8th Congressional District, where no one so far has come forward to challenge incumbent Representative Pete Stauber, who was again elected back in 2018. But one name possibly circulating is Quinn Nystrom. 33 years old, she's been a frequent guest on the Matt McNeil Show, a huge diabetes advocate. I believe she was also a candidate a few years ago, might have been back in 2016, for the State House. But she spoke from her hometown in Baxter, Minnesota over the weekend to confirm she had been recruited to run for Congress by a number of people within the DFL party to challenge Stauber in 2020. And Nystrom says she's treating it as one of the biggest decisions as her life to date. She says, can I be the representative, take my nearly 23 years of advocacy, and be the strong voice for the 8th District? That's a big decision, but I won't take it lightly. And she, I think, would be a very strong challenger in CD8, because she's lived in that district for a number of years, and I don't think she quite has the same amount of baggage that Joe Radinovich had back in 2018. He was the DFL-nominated candidate. He ran into some issues. And again, these are completely unfair criticisms. One was that he had parking tickets in Minneapolis when he served in the mayor's office. And then he also lived in Washington, D.C. for a while, which, when you're talking about some of these rural districts, if you move out of those districts for even a slight amount of time, they'll kind of look at you as possibly being someone who's no longer connected, even if you move on back. And Quinn Nystrom, from a little bit of a different camp, being someone who has lived in that district for quite some time. And of course, she's well known as being a diabetes advocate, being very active in trying to get that emergency insulin funding. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Before we head to break, let's go to Gary in Minneapolis. Hi there, Gary.
Yeah, I'd like to know exactly what she said that was anti-Semitic, my congresswoman. I call her office. I can't even get through. I imagine she's getting a lot of hate calls because of our president who's got the blessings of the white supremacists and David Duke and the Nazis. But I don't know what's wrong with that prime minister in Israel. I think he's probably an authoritarian like Trump. I think he's a Likud party, if I'm right. You know, the neoconservatives, whatever they are. But it bothers me that they're picking on her. I embrace diversity, no matter who it is, as long as they live and let live. And Trump don't do that in the Republicans. They take all the money. They're greedy. They can't handle the economy because they grab everything. And they step on a lot of people other ways, too.
All right, Gary, thanks so much for the call. Good to hear from Gary.
And to be clear, he was referring to Ilhan Omar. I don't know if the listeners quite...
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and I mean, and he was mentioning to me on the phone, too. I think Israel kind of deserves some of that criticism.
I
might get a firestorm of Carl saying that, but...
No, they're not immune to criticism. No country is, including our own.
Exactly.
There's a difference between, and this is what bugs me so much, when you conflate a state with a religion, or a state and a government with love of country, because we often see Israel being conflated with Judaism, which are two completely separate things. The Israeli government is not, well, it's not supposed to be a religious government, but you can still definitely, well, I can't speak because I'm not a Jewish person myself, but you can still, without a doubt, criticize the Israeli government while still also being very supportive of the Jewish faith. And of course, this also kind of translates into American politics as well, where so often we see when we have a Republican presidential administration, if you criticize the president, you hate America. That really came to the forefront back in 2004 when George W. Bush was running for re-election, and we've started to see this same sentiment also rear its ugly head here in 2019 and 2018 with Trump, where you often hear people say, well, if you criticize Donald Trump, then you hate America. You no longer want to see America win. So I think it's important to make that distinction between the candidates and the government, between the actual country or, in the case of Israel, the actual faith.
But those same people were okay with criticizing Obama's tan suit.
Yeah.
I won't let that one go.
The tan, Dijon mustard, bowing too deeply. Exactly. Because, as I said, at least on the American side of this argument right here, where you talk about separating the country from whoever is the government, this only happens whenever you have a Republican head of state. As you said, we hardly ever heard about this when we had a Barack Obama or a Bill Clinton in charge. You never heard people that are from the progressive side saying, well, if you criticize Clinton or if you criticize Obama, you hate America. Because, of course, that would have led to an absolute firestorm from, well, not just Republicans, but also the legacy media as well. 952-946-6205. All right, I lied here, Sam. Let's go one more phone call before we head to the break. We got Matt in Minneapolis. Hey there, Matt.
Hey, guys. I think Gary's spot on. You know, what I'm seeing here is I'm seeing a big push toward a worldwide push toward nationalism and on a worldwide front.
Great point.
And it's really scary. And you know what I'm thinking is, I'm thinking that who would have the financial interest to set up a World War III? Who would stand to make money from destabilizing all these governments and making everybody angry and loathing toward immigrants and everything? There's some, you know, like, we have to start following the money here and really looking at that, because what I'm seeing is I'm really seeing a worldwide push to destabilize all government. And, you know, I mean, even Putin was saying he was proud to see nationalism becoming a worldwide thing. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Yeah, and Matt, I liked your point right there with this rise of, I guess, what you would call right-wing populism or even nationalism, because we've seen this all over the world. Obviously, this has happened here in the United States with Donald Trump, but it's happened in Britain with the rise of Boris Johnson. There's some other European countries that have fallen into this. And then, of course, we have the guy there down on Brazil who makes Trump look like a moderate Democrat of all things. That's Bolsonaro down there on Brazil, who, by the way, is finally dealing with those Amazon wildfires, if they even were wildfires. There's actually some rumors that those were actually started by logging and agricultural interests in that country. But he came in with a with a wave of nationalism and right-wing populism, and he's gone, well, even further than to the right than what we've seen here in the United States. So, yeah, there most certainly is a rise of right-wing populism or nationalism, whatever you want to call that, throughout not just the United States, but also all over the world. And you wonder if that tide can turn if we actually end up with a global recession, because it looks more and more like that could possibly happen within the next year or so, with how much relations have been destabilized between the U.S. and China. And if you look at some of the other foreign markets, Germany's on the verge of actually heading into a recession. In fact, they may already be there. China's economy, not exactly doing well itself. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Hang on, Randy, we'll take your call on the other side of the break. And then I also want to briefly touch on this really weird standard that third parties in Minnesota face in terms of trying to get on the ballot if they don't reach that 5 or 6% margin in a previous election like the legalized cannabis parties reached. We'll talk more about that and take Randy's call up next here on the Repartee with Brett and Sam. Because he's racing and pacing and parting the course. He's
fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hi, this is Laura Hedlund with Food Freedom Radio, and it's hard to believe, but it's already this time of the year, time for the Minnesota State Fair. Food Freedom Radio will be in the Common Table exhibit at the Horticulture Building on Sunday, September 1st from noon to 6, and on Monday, Labor Day from 9 to 2. So please stop by and say hi. Also, the Common Table is looking for volunteers passionate about local foods to help staff the booth. To volunteer, go to commontablemn.org and click on the volunteer and listen to Food Freedom Radio Saturdays at 8 a.m.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Hello, fellow AM 950 listeners. This is Jason from Nightingale at 26 in Lindale. Come experience our delicious signature dishes and exciting rotation of inventive seasonal fare for my wife and chef, Carrie, and her team. Nightingale is the perfect place to gather for any occasion with our extensive wine, beer, and cocktail selection, along with our dedication to great service. We offer a full menu every day from 4 to 1 a.m., 2 award-winning daily happy hours, and weekend brunch at 10. More at nightingalempls.com.
You're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the most informative source for progressive politics and news in the Twin Cities. Get involved online at am950radio.com, where you can sign up for our weekly newsletter, check out the local businesses that help make this content available, and stay up to date on the latest news and upcoming events. You can always reach us by email at comment at am950radio.com. That's comment at am950radio.com. Thanks for listening.
At Better Futures Minnesota, we transform the lives of men and support Minnesota's environment by working towards zero waste. Our approach reaffirms each man's dignity and supports self-sufficiency. Better Futures Minnesota is a work training model. Through our reuse, retail warehouse, and supervised work crews with specialized in residential and commercial building deconstruction, property maintenance, appliance recycling, and janitorial services, we demonstrate ways to employ hard-to-employ men on a pathway to independence. Hire our work crews at BetterFuturesMinnesota.com.
And we're back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee in just a second. Going to talk about this lawsuit from the Libertarian Party against the state of Minnesota about this weird standard we have for third parties in terms of trying to get on the election ballot. It's absolutely crazy. We'll get to that in just 1 second. But first, let's go to Randy in St. Cloud. Hey there, Randy. What's on your mind today?
Well, on what you were just talking about with Ilhan Omar, and they just keep saying that she said wildly anti-Semitic things, which she didn't, total BS. And then that her and Rashida Tlaib want to destroy Israel. Backing the BDS movement, the boycott, sanctions, and divestment movement is not wanting to destroy Israel. It's trying to punish Israel because of their treatment of the Palestinian people. That's not trying to destroy them. That's trying to protect the Palestinians. And at any rate, if you criticize AIPAC, which is part of what Ilhan Omar did, you are labeled anti-Semitic. And the largest lobbying group for Israel is the Christian Right for Israel. And it's like, are you Christians United for Israel? That's the largest lobbying group for Israel. And what's crazy about that is the reason that they're backing Israel is that's where the war is going to happen. That's going to bring Armageddon. Mm-hmm. And the rapture will come, and all of those Christians will be saved and raised up into the heavens, and the rest of us will be left here to live like Palestinians in Mecca. Anyway.
Randy, yeah, it's I kind of chuckle at that, but you indeed are right. There is it's a minority, but a significant amount of people that actually do believe, kind of along the lines of what Randy was saying, that they want a holy war to take place in the Middle East, and they kind of do see Israel as being a vehicle to doing that, where they can kind of look at that and say, my enemy is your enemy, when they look at some of the Muslim-supported states in the Middle East. Well, wasn't planning on really talking about the Middle East. I certainly have no solution on that. By the way, we will have our solution show coming up tomorrow. That'd be a heck of a question, wouldn't it, Sam?
Yeah,
how do you solve the Middle East?
See if you guys can figure that one out tomorrow.
Oh, yikes. 952-946-6205. So I want to talk about this lawsuit that the Libertarian Party is making against the state of Minnesota. This is from the Pioneer Press, and get part of this that's coming up. This is absolutely crazy. So here's from the Pioneer Press. To get on Minnesota's presidential ballot next year, a Libertarian Party candidate must secure a puzzling promise from 2,000 people. Get this. Each must swear during a two-week window in May that they do not intend to vote in the presidential primary election that will have taken place in March. Anyone who lies about that and what they intend to do could be prosecuted for felony perjury. Get that for a second. So in order for the Libertarian candidate to get on the presidential ballot here in Minnesota, and by the way, I'm no way endorsing the Libertarian Party. I'm just kind of looking at this crazy statue and seeing that they kind of have a point here. They have to get 2,000 signatures, and each person has to promise that they did not vote in the March primary for either the Democratic or the Republican Party. And if it's found out that they lied, they get prosecuted for a felony. That seems a little harsh, doesn't it, Sam? To try to get 2,000 signatures and then to get people to promise to say you didn't participate in the Republican or Democratic primary. And by the way, if you did, well, you could be a convicted felon. That would be a tough sell for me to actually sign a petition if I were a Libertarian-leaning person, because I don't want to risk that at all over signing some stupid petition and then finding out you could potentially be convicted of a felony.
Yeah, that's a really good way to either A, just completely lock in the two-party system, or B, just completely discourage voting altogether, which I thought we were trying to do neither of those.
But. Yeah. I'm not big on third parties, but I still think they should have access to the ballot. And wow, really, threat of possibly being convicted of a felony. That's, of course, one way you can get on the ballot, and that's actually the route you have to take if you're one of the parties that did not get at least 5% of the vote in a previous statewide election. We actually did get two third parties that reached that threshold. We had the Grassroots Legalized Cannabis Party and the Legalized Marijuana Now Party. They both reached that 5% threshold where they picked up at least 5% of the vote in one of the statewide elections in 2018, meaning, therefore, they do qualify to be a major party for 2020. Of course, the Libertarian Party did not meet that threshold, as did several others, the Green Party among them. So now they have to go to this weird system where they have to get 2,000 signatures, where again, people have to promise they did not participate in any other primary or have the threat of possibly being convicted of a felony. Now, again, I'm probably pretty sure that no one's going to be convicted of a felony. It's more the idea that that threat is possibly hanging over your head. It would make it very, very tough to actually, well, get people to sign that petition just with that threat of a felony. Again, probably unlikely anyone would be prosecuted even if they did lie because, well, the judicial system probably has better things to do. But, yeah, I can see why the Libertarian Party probably has a pretty good argument there in that lawsuit, so we shall see where that goes.
We actually just had Hunter call in, too, and he mentioned that him and Erica, I don't know if anyone's listened to the Mission Accomplishers podcast they do, but he reminded me they did a show from the Libertarian Convention, and I guess that was a big point of contention that it's whether you're libertarian or not, it's just bad for democracy in general. And it's if you want to go listen to that episode, they talk a lot about that on, I think it was just titled The Mission Accomplishers at the Libertarian Convention. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they spent a whole episode on talking about that.
Yeah, and as Hunter said, it's not about supporting the Libertarian Party. It's just good for democracy.
Right.
It's you shouldn't be trying to get people to participate in democracy by threatening them with a felony. That's just horrible.
Right.
For the democratic process itself. So, by the way, hey, good to hear from Hunter, by the way. We're hoping to have him back in the next few days or weeks. As if you didn't hear the news, he unfortunately had his mom pass away unexpectedly a few weeks ago. So he's taking some time off to get things in order. So Hunter still is definitely at AM 950. He is just taking some personal time here at the station, and we do look forward to welcoming him back here in the future on the airwaves of AM 950.
Yep, you can still hear him on that Mission Accomplishers podcast Saturdays at 7 p.m.
Saturdays at 7. Hey, you nailed it by heart there. Saturdays at 7, Mission Accomplishers with Hunter and Eric. Go back and listen to all their podcasts. It's a much different format that you hear on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. It's a little bit more of a free-form style podcast. I've heard a few of the episodes myself and definitely encourage you to check that out as well. We are going to take a break, and on the other side, I want to talk about Joe Walsh challenging Donald Trump for the Republican nomination for president and why I think you should encourage any right-leaning friends or relatives that you have to get involved for Joe Walsh. We're going to talk more about that up next on the Repartee. Brett and Sam on a Monday. AM 950 is hosting a debate watching party on Thursday, September 12th at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park. Come watch with like-minded progressives as the Democratic presidential candidates debate all the important issues and figure out how to beat Trump. Doors will open a half hour before the start of the debate. Your ticket includes free debatable appetizers with a cash bar. We'll play a debate-themed Blue No Matter Who bingo with lots of great prizes. Matt McNeil and the Repartee crew will be there. And if you have ideas for our weekly Tuesday Solution show, we'd love to hear them. Debate watching tickets are only $15 and they will go fast, so make sure you order now at am950radio.com. So let's watch the debate together on Thursday, September 12th at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park as we figure out who will dump Trump in 2020. Order your tickets now at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. And if you have any questions, call us at 952-946-8885.
Located just north of 50th and France, the Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, they offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include hot and sour soup, pan-fried dumplings, and mushu pork with homemade Chinese pancakes. Stop by their Edina location or call for takeout at 952-927-4439. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
This is Gregory Rich, founder of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style every Sunday at 5 p.m. You know, on the radio program, I often say that life is the big stuff, but living is in the details. The furniture in your home may be details, but that's where you do the living. So why not speak to one of Habitation's design professionals about making your space the best it can be? Habitation, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park.
Imagine cyber criminals waiting outside your network, probing for weaknesses. What if you're next? Well, what if you had a team of experts to navigate you through these what-if waters? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rymark with a unique offer, a free network security assessment. We'll uncover the hidden threats to your business and provide you with a map to peace of mind. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RymarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment and stop drowning in what-ifs.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on Saturdays from noon to one, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights to living and aging well. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and caregiver support to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to one for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Tonight we got thunderstorms with a low around 58. Tomorrow there's scattered storms with a high near 72. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 68. Thursday, sunny with a high near 79. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 72. The Eat Local Minnesota Restaurant of the Week is Victor's 1959 Cafe, offering traditional Cuban recipes in a relaxed, casual, and festive Cuban environment. Come visit them at 3756 Grand Avenue South in Minneapolis. More info at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, love Victor's 1959 Cafe, as we've brought up a few other times on previous programs. That is where the Minnesota Progressive Repartee was born, when it was Hunter, Chad, Doug Padgett, and me all meeting at Victor's 1959, where we kind of hatched the idea for the show. Of course, Doug no longer doing the show, as he is busy with like 2,000 other things, including just recently releasing his new book, which you can follow him on Facebook. It's called Outdoing Jesus, and they just had their release last week, and we're hoping to get Doug back on the program to talk about that book. And of course, he's also involved with Vote Common Good in 2020. So those are among several of the reasons why Doug's not doing the show anymore here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Just busy with lots of other things, trying to make the world a better place. But Victor's 1959 Cafe, that was where the Minnesota Progressive Repartee was born. So, Sam, I got to ask, are you familiar at all with this guy, Joe Walsh, who has announced that he is running for president on behalf of the Republican Party and challenging Donald Trump in the primary? Have you learned anything about Joe Walsh? Have you heard of him before? Are you kind of blind on exactly who this guy is?
At first, when you mentioned it, I thought you were talking about the musician. And then I do
very different person, yes.
Then I did the Google, well, because, like, you know, Ted Nugent's a big GOPer, so I figured maybe it is Joe Walsh, but no.
Oh, I'd love Nugent to challenge Trump. That would be solid right there.
Oh, that we just want to turn this election into a circus? Or
yeah.
But then I looked it up, and I think I actually recognize the name now, because he's a talk show host, isn't he? Basically a bigger Jason Lewis, kind of.
He is, essentially, yeah, and he has an interesting background where I think he could be a somewhat formidable challenge to Trump. Not that he would actually beat him for the Republican nomination, because doing that would be next to impossible, not only because Trump is still very popular among Republicans, but structurally the party has made it very difficult to actually knock him off in their primary systems, including South Carolina, where I believe they've actually barred any other candidate from being on the ballot in South Carolina. It was either that, or they said if there was a significant primary challenge, they would just cancel the primary altogether and just give all of their delegates to President Trump. But either way, Joe Walsh is going to be challenging Donald Trump coming up in 2020. Now, he is a guy who actually was first elected to Congress back in 2010 in the Tea Party wave. He served a congressional district in Illinois, so he actually was an elected official. He served one term in Illinois before he was knocked out in 2012, and ever since then, he's been an overnight right-wing talk show host. And he was one of these people who originally was very much a big Trump supporter. In fact, he said back on November 8th, 2016, he tweeted this. He said, on November 8th, I'm voting for Trump. On November 9th, if Trump loses, I'm grabbing my musket. You in? That's literally what he said. So he was a huge Trump guy all the way up to the 2016 election.
I think it's interesting he said musket and not AR-15.
Yeah. Hey, at least he's got the spirit of the Second Amendment, doesn't he, with that tweet?
Right.
Yeah. But since then, he's grown very disgusted with Trump. Among some of the things he's cited against him, among his grievances, are, well, his connections to the Russian government, and then also, well, basically his rhetoric. And Walsh, to his credit, has admitted that some of his past comments might have, quote, helped create Trump, unquote, and that Trump made him reflect on some of the things he said in the past. So kind of credit them here. But again, Joe Walsh, despite that, he's not some moderate Republican coming in. He's still very much a Tea Partier. In fact, he rode that Tea Party wave as part of the movement back in 2010. But here's what I want to talk about with Joe Walsh. So if you're like most people, you probably have people that are friends and relatives that lean a little bit more to the right and probably voted for Donald Trump in 2016 and still plan on voting for him in 2020. And so often when you talk to family members and friends, you get into those political debates. I try to avoid those as much as I can with friends and family members. But inevitably when that happens, you end up trying to convince each other of your position, saying, well, this is why you should vote for my candidate instead of your candidate. And of course, doing that with someone who supports Donald Trump is like running into a brick wall, and vice versa as well, them trying to convince us to actually support Trump.
It feels like running into a brick wall too, literally.
Yeah, you're not going to make any progress. So I think we should take a little bit of a different approach, because this is something that I think some on the right, not many, have successfully done to Democrats, where they get us to either, well, not be very fired up about the election, or to go all out and actually vote for a third party when it comes to going to the ballot box. Of course, great examples of that would be, well, exactly what happened in 2000 where, well, sorry to say it, Ralph Nader did, of course, prevent Al Gore from becoming president. Not talking about the validity of third parties at all. That's just the facts right there. If Ralph Nader was not in the election, well, Al Gore would have been president. Again, not either saying Ralph Nader is a good person or a bad person. That's just the facts right there. So we've seen this often used against Democrats where they say, well, I know you probably don't like your candidate very much, but maybe you should still vote for a third party. Of course, to a degree, we kind of saw this in 2016 with Jill Stein, although she didn't really quite get enough support to really have a material impact on the election. But at least locally here in Minnesota, we've seen several examples where third parties have had a big impact, taking votes away from a Democratic candidate. Best example was as recent in 2016 in the 2nd Congressional District where Jason Lewis was first elected. He got 47% of the vote. Angie Craig got roughly 42%, while the third-party candidate by the name of Paula Overby got a little less than 8% of the vote. And a lot of people that live in that district thought if Overby wasn't in the race, well, then it probably would have been Angie Craig who would have been elected in 2016. You can also look at what happened in CD8 as well, where you had Ray Skip Sandman take approximately 5% of the vote back in 2018. 2010 in CD8, you also had a third-party candidate take roughly 4% of the vote, and that was the election where Jim Oberstar lost. So not really saying third parties are a good or a bad thing. Those are just the facts that a lot of people who typically would vote Democrat sometimes get convinced to say or convinced to vote for a third party because, well, overall, you should just be frustrated with your party's candidate. And by the way, I think that's actually a fair criticism to make. But I think we should turn this around on people who are Republicans and say, vote for a third party or vote for a primary challenger. We don't often see this from people that are on the progressive side doing that to people who are on the more conservative side. And that's exactly what I think we should do with Joe Walsh, because he still is very much a right-winger. If you're someone who's a Republican or a conservative-leaning person, you should be absolutely in favor of Joe Walsh. In fact, I would venture to guess you probably agree with him more on policy than you do with Donald Trump, especially when it comes to issues like tariffs, where I think Walsh probably fits your background a little bit more than Donald Trump. So go ahead, vote for him. What do you think about that, Sam, in terms of encouraging people to get on the Joe Walsh bandwagon?
I think it's a good way to like play the game, you know, because like you said earlier, it's not really a criticism against third parties in general. I think it's more of like a criticism to like our electoral system in general. Like I've always been a big fan of the ranked choice voting, and that could get, but we unfortunately that's just not the system we live in right now, and it's not going to be the system we're going to have for the 2020 election. So if we're stuck with this flawed election system, then play the game, I suppose. You know, I think that's, like you said, it's better than, we're not going to convince most Trump supporters to go vote for Bernie. That's just not going to, it's never going to happen. So,
and again, Joe Walsh isn't running for a third party, but if he launches even a somewhat legitimate challenge to Trump, where he actually has to pay attention to Joe Walsh and spend resources to fend off that challenge. Well, history shows that usually bodes for the challenging party. All you got to do is go back and look at 1992. Remember back then, George H.W. Bush received a primary challenge from Pat Buchanan. Now, even though H.W. ended up winning that primary overwhelmingly. Overall, the popular vote among Republican primary voters was about 73 to 23. It still did enough to kind of lead to some questions about the candidacy of George H.W. Bush as he was seeking re-election back in 1992. Then on the Democratic side, on the Republican side, that certainly hurt Gerald Ford back in 1976, if you really want to go back in history, when he faced a very credible challenge from remember old St. Ronnie Reagan? He actually challenged Gerald Ford back in 1976. So basically every time you get an incumbent president who faces a primary challenger from a somewhat credible candidate, they usually end up losing their reelection. So history certainly would be on the side there too if you were to actually get Joe Walsh to launch a somewhat legitimate challenge to Donald Trump. Still, of course, has a long way to go, being that last check, I believe Trump still had an 88% approval rating among his fellow Republican voters. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Hey, Mark and Fridley, hang on the line. We're going to get to your call on the other side of the break. And then I also want to end the show with one final thought on tariffs and how I basically think we can accuse Donald Trump of being in favor of the redistribution of wealth. We're going to talk about that up next here on the Repartee with Brett and Sam.
In today's challenging world, many of us are asking, but what can I do? I'm Gail Shore with Cultural Jambalaya, and I ask the same questions, so I formed a small nonprofit to try to make a difference. We create educational videos featuring my global photography and cultural experiences that we offer to teachers without charge to broaden worldviews of their students. These videos help to break down cultural barriers and promote understanding and respect for all people. That's what we do. We also know that there are many others doing great work, and we recognize them at our annual Diversity Awards. This year, we'll celebrate students from Stillwater, Asian American leaders, and educators from South St. Paul and Rochester. The Cultural Jambalaya Diversity Awards will take place Thursday, October 3rd at the Metropolitan in Golden Valley. Tickets include dinner and music by T. Michael Rambo and are available at culturaljam.org. Join us and become inspired about how to make a difference. We all have something we can do.
AM 950 is hosting a debate watching party on Thursday, September 12th at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park. Come watch with like-minded progressives as the Democratic presidential candidates debate all the important issues and figure out how to beat Trump. Doors will open a half hour before the start of the debate. Your ticket includes free debatable appetizers with a cash bar. We'll play a debate-themed Blue No Matter Who bingo with lots of great prizes. Matt McNeil and the Repartee crew will be there. And if you have ideas for our weekly Tuesday Solution show, we'd love to hear them. Debate watching tickets are only $15 and they will go fast, so make sure you order now at am950radio.com. So let's watch the debate together on Thursday, September 12th at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park as we figure out who will dump Trump in 2020. Order your tickets now at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. And if you have any questions, call us at 952-946-8885.
Back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, Brett and Sam in studio. Some stories we'll be covering later on in the week here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Fort Snelling looking at possibly changing its name. Not the fort itself, but actually the area around it. That will still keep the Fort Snelling name on the fort, but the area around it possibly looking at changing the name. And well, I'm sure we're going to see some confusion there with more talk about revisionist history. If you remember back to the state legislature where they were threatening to cut funding to the Minnesota Historical Society when they put Fort Snelling at Bedote on one of the welcoming signs. Also talk more about this later in the week, but apparently Minnesota is the second fastest warming state in the entire country. Yikes, not good news there. And then also later in the week, going to talk about how we can reframe the tariff argument, because I think you could make a pretty good case that Trump is actually in favor of the redistribution of wealth. Because if you look at how this tariff revenue has been brought in and how it's actually been distributed in terms of the farm bailout going to wealthy farmers, I think you could actually call that the redistribution of wealth. We'll talk more about all of those topics later in the week, but let's go to the phone lines. I got time for two quick callers. Both of you are going to have to be quick, so don't mean to cut you guys off, but want to make sure we have time for both of you. Let's start things off with Mark in Fridley. Hey there, Mark.
Okay, the thing I always say is by the time the morons can figure it out, it's already too late. Joe Walsh is just a publicity hound. Don't fall for it. John Kasich is going to run, going to primary Trump, but it won't be Trump. Here's my prediction. Trump is not long for this job. He's going to fire Pence for the shenanigans he's pulling with Nikki Haley, and he's going to select Condoleezza Rice to be the vice president. Then he's going to resign because of health reasons. Ooh. Now, as far as Joe Walsh goes, I'd just like to quote a little bit of Norm Coleman in 2016. And he, speaking for all Republicans, I won't vote for Donald Trump. He isn't a Republican. He isn't a conservative. He isn't a truth teller. He's a bigot, a misogynist, a fraud, a bully. And this is what else Norm Coleman said about Donald Trump. We have been deceived by a con artist. He slapped a slogan on his ball cap. Republican leaders are to blame. Of course, there is no doubt. Republicans like me and others who could not believe or comprehend that anyone would take Donald Trump seriously. This is inconsistent with ideals of justice and liberty. Now, Marco Rubio, Lindsey Graham, who said the same thing, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio said he called Trump a fascist in 2016 and compared him to Mussolini. Now they love him. You just can't go, you know, I have an epiphany. I'm going to change everything I thought about this guy because I got elected and they got to support him. They still believe he is everything that Norm Coleman said he was and he is, and it's getting worse. So we can't fall into that trap. You know, Joe Biden is Hillary Clinton 2.0. We got to go with the new. We got to go with the fresh. We got to go with the team that got us to 2018, and that's the progressives.
All right, Mark, thanks so much for the call there. Interesting thoughts there, thinking Kasich is going to enter the race as well as Condi Rice possibly being the VP. Hunter and Eric are actually of the opinion, they mentioned this earlier, that they think Tucker Carlson could possibly be the VP.
Oh, God.
And they don't think it's actually a joke. They think he could actually be a very formidable vice presidential candidate. I think they're going to talk about that on one of their Mission Accomplishers episodes coming up. All right, time for one more call. Dan, if we run out of time, definitely encourage you to call tomorrow. But let's get your thoughts before we wrap up the show. I only got about 30 seconds.
Gotcha, Brett. Thanks. Hey, I want to push back a little bit that conservative friends and family are gettable. What we need to keep in mind is conservatives are eye-centered. So whenever you're speaking with one of those, you have to say how something impacts them. What I tell them is that they can save $5,000 on average a year by voting for Medicare for All and voting for Bernie. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for the call there, Dan. I wish it worked this way, but I'm not sure people are necessarily going to go along for their arguments. I don't know. I think we could be onto something there if we were to convince Republicans to either not vote for a third party or get active in terms of a primary challenger for Trump. We'll talk more about this on future shows this week. I'll be in all 5 days, so plenty of time to talk about this and more. This has been Brett and Sam on the Repartee for your Monday.